Welcome to Progressive Pockets. Whatever keeps you up at night, climate change, income inequality, oppression, homelessness, you name it, there's a real chance that we're leaving some of our power on the table. I believe that we can use some of our dollars as everyday people to help create the type of world we'd like to live in. I go by Gigi, that's short for Genet Gimja. I'm your host around these parts. And guess what? It's right around that time of year when Ramadan is kicking off. This is a holiday observed by Muslims globally by taking some time to pray, reflect, fast, and connect with the community. At its best, Ramadan can really be about a lot of introspection. Just ask any of your friends who are observing the holiday, and you're probably going to get some answers about what they're thinking about, you know, how to live their lives according to their values. Not that we ever need a reason, but if you think about it, this might be the perfect time to talk about lining up our values and our money. Let's dive in and learn together. One topic that comes up a lot when I talk to listeners of the show is this soul-searching question of how much should I donate? Way back on episode 2, there's a whole discussion that you might find helpful to help you make this decision, borrowing from different faiths to get a sense of what other people are doing and some non-faith-based ways to try to decide how much of your money you want to give away. The concept of giving within Islam is briefly mentioned in that episode. Today, I want to go a little bit deeper. I want to share some research, very interesting research that comes from the Indiana University Lilly Family School of Philanthropy. They've got some research on giving within the American Muslim community that I just found very interesting. I'm on their website quite a bit. They have tons of initiatives, a lot of different research. I find myself referring back to their work a lot of times when I'm researching, trying to answer your questions. And so in preparing for today's episode, I got into some of the work that they're doing over specifically at the Muslim Philanthropy Initiative. They have a report. They have lots of research within that institute. But for today's episode, to really focus it, I curled up with the Muslim American Zakat Report 2023, and here's what I learned. So let's talk about what Islam says about giving and how to calculate how much to give. Let's find out where Muslims in America tend to give, and maybe some of these things can inform our own thoughts about our own giving, whether or not this is a faith that you observe. So the first thing to know is that Islam is based on 5 pillars. Now I'm wondering if I could try to remember them off the top of my head. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's philanthropy. Okay. And that's not in the right order, I don't think. But there's the philanthropy, there's prayer. There's fasting. Okay, I need to look at my notes. How could I forget? There's pilgrimage, of course, doing the pilgrimage. And then there's also, I was never going to remember this one. It's the profession of faith, literally saying the words that you are a believer of the faith. So the requirement to give money away generously is the 3rd pillar of Islam. It actually comes before fasting in terms of the order of the pillars. So the prioritization is first the profession of faith, 2nd comes prayer, and then philanthropy, and then fasting. So this 3rd pillar is called zakat. This philanthropy, you could call it, some people call it financial worship. All of these words made sense to me. And there's a lot written in the Quran and in the religious interpretive texts about all the rules of zakat. There are a lot of guidelines. It was so interesting to read about. For example, there are even guidelines about who is eligible to receive zakat. And specifically, there are 8 conditions under which you might be eligible to receive Zakat. So here's an excerpt from the report. Zakat expenditures are only for, one, the poor, two, the needy, three, for those employed by it, four, for bringing hearts together for Islam, five, for freeing captives or slaves, six, for those in debt, and seven, for the cause of Allah, and eight, for the stranded traveler. That I just thought was so interesting. You can imagine if there are that many guidelines about who can receive charity, or specifically, let me be clear, zakat, then there are lots of guidelines as well on how zakat should be given away. I'm nobody's religious scholar, not even close, but I did grow up familiar with the traditional messages and the Christian faith. And so the concept of tithing feels very familiar, but there's a huge difference. The tithe, usually 10%, has always been, as I've understood it, 10% of the income that's coming in. So if you're a farmer, 10% of your harvest for the season, that's the tithe. That's how I always learned it growing up. If there are any different interpretive Christian, you know, texts, I would love to, if you could send me those, I would love to read those as well. progressivepockets@gmail.com. But here's what's so fascinating to me about the zakat. So within Islam, it's not that you're required to give a percentage of your income. You're required to give a percentage of your wealth. This is a huge distinction, and it's very specific. Here is the quote from the report. The rate of zakat today is estimated at 2.5% of surplus wealth above the necessary minimum threshold. So what this is saying is there's an understanding that there's some minimum amount of wealth you need to have as a person for your safety. But above that minimum threshold, the requirement is to give 2.5% of anything above that minimum threshold. So what is the minimum threshold? The minimum threshold is, it's debated. The typical traditional way to calculate it is according to current gold and silver prices. So traditionally, the way you would calculate it is if you're going according to the price of gold in today's dollars, the minimum threshold would be $5,500. Some scholars use silver and the current prices of silver. In that case, the minimum threshold would be about $450. So as long as you hold this minimum amount of wealth, the obligation is to donate the amount over that minimum, 2.5% of that. That is the zakat obligation. So the first step is to add up the value of your wealth and then to give from that surplus. But what is your wealth? You know, when you think about modern times, you could definitely imagine that there's room for interpretation. Different religious scholars will have different interpretations. But here's, from the report, one of the modern interpretations. Zakat is liable on gold, silver, cash, savings, investments, rent income, business merchandise, and profits. Hello, even your inventory, your shares, your securities, bonds. Zakat is not paid on wealth used for debt repayment, of living expenses such as clothing, food, housing, transportation, education, etc. That is so interesting because it's saying that debt repayment is excluded as long as the debt was for living expenses. So if your debt was for a yacht, then my understanding of this interpretation is that you have to, you don't get to exclude that debt from your wealth calculation. So let's think about this. Let's say someone has $1 million in their retirement accounts, you know, all of their assets, they don't have any debt. Let's just make it easy. Their net worth is $1 million. And they use their salary from their job to cover all of their living expenses. According to this interpretation, you would take your $1 million, you'd subtract the $5,500 minimum threshold, and then now we're going to multiply this by 2.5%. That comes out to donating about $25,000 a year. I just find that so interesting. It's a lot of money, but it's such a different way of thinking about it, you know, just donating based on your wealth rather than based on your salary. I'm so fascinated by this mental shift in how to think about that. And there are even some online Zakat calculators. What a time to be alive. All of this Zakat, I'm sure you can imagine, adds up to a lot of money. The Muslim American Zakat Report of 2022 found that Muslims in the United States are giving an estimated $1.8 billion in Zakat in 2022. Keep in mind, Muslims only make up about 1% of the American population. So that's a lot of money. It's giving generosity, you know? When the survey respondents were asked what causes they think are really important for Zakat to be used for, there really wasn't a clear preference. They were asked about hunger alleviation, immediate relief, poverty, health services, education, advocacy, humanitarian stuff, economic sustainability. And there really just wasn't a lot of preference between those. The feeling seemed to be that all of those are important to put your Zakat towards. When you look at the report, the largest recipient in terms of where the respondents said they were giving their money, the biggest category would be giving informally and directly to people who need it. I've definitely witnessed that before. Someone needs help, you help them, or a friend or someone in your community is gathering resources to help a family. Informal direct giving, I've seen a lot of that, particularly during Ramadan. Right after that, there's a sizable amount of giving to formal nonprofits domestically. And then to a slightly lesser degree right after that would be giving Zakat towards formal nonprofits overseas as well. After that, next was remittances. So this is where people are sending money back to their countries of origin. There's really no guideline about when the giving needs to happen within Islam or with Zakat specifically. But many Muslims do tend to give during Ramadan when, you know, community and living out the pillars of the faith are in the discourse and on the minds of people, maybe more than the rest of the year. So whether you're observing Ramadan this year or not, whether this is your faith or not, I think it can be helpful to spark our thinking. So let's recap. The third pillar of Islam is Zakat, and it requires that Muslims give 2.5% of their wealth above a minimum threshold. And again, we're talking wealth. We're not talking income. So donating 2.5% of your wealth above a minimum threshold of about $5,500 or above $400, depending on how you interpret the religious text. Second thing we covered today, there are online calculators if you want to see what Zakat you would pay. Of course, links in the show notes, as always. Third, Muslims in America tend to do more of their giving during Ramadan, although they do give throughout the year. And then fourth, the biggest tendency is to give directly to informal causes, and then to a slightly lesser degree, formal nonprofits. Next was formal nonprofits overseas, and then finally, remittances. So interesting. So let's end with a quote from Rumi. All religions, all this singing, one song. The differences are just illusion and vanity. The sun's light looks a little different on this wall than it does on that wall, and a lot different on this other one, but it's still one light. Today's episode was inspired by a question from a listener a long time ago about trying to decide how much to donate. I mean, really, it was over a year or two. It was 2 years ago. That's where the best episode topics come from, your messages. So please open up your email window and send a quick email to progressivepockets@gmail.com. What are some questions you'd like to hear explored on the show? Or you can go to progressivepockets.com, go to the website, click on contact, and send your request that way too. I hope you enjoyed the discussion today. Let's talk again soon.